Good morning. This is Scott Mitchell with Let the Bible Speak here on WBRO Radio 89.9 in Marengo, Indiana. This is a call-in talk radio show we've been doing now for about 13 weeks or so, something like we've done 13 shows, I think, something like that. This may be the 13th. And today we're going to do a repeat because it was not recorded, and it's one I think needs to be out for people to hear. We're going to talk about Bible authority today and how to establish Bible authority and how we ought to be treating the Bible to know that we're doing God's will. I work with the church out at El Bethel. It's called The Church at El Bethel. It's no longer a Bethel Baptist. And we've been really, for the last year, just working on getting back to God's Word and trying to do things the way He says to do it. And that's what we're going to talk about today, and how we can possibly, and if we can do that, and if it's possible. Shannon Schaefer's here with me. He did the first show, and he's not been recorded before, so I'll let him introduce himself and what he's been up to and what he's been doing and then who he is, and we'll get started. Shannon?
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me on today. My name is Shannon Schaefer, just a friend of Scott's, and glad to be able to come and be with you. We're going to just take our Bibles and look at and see
just
what...
Just a friend. That's sweet, yeah. Shannon.
So glad to have our listeners with us this morning. Hope that you will take your Bibles and make sure you check and listen closely to the things that we say, and check in your Word of God, make sure it's what it says.
Absolutely. So as we go through this, I'm going to be, there's one book that really influenced me when I first started at El Bethel, because I wasn't sure where to start as far as how to organize the information. And there's a book called, it's called Mind Your King by Doy Moyer, that goes through Bible authority and how to establish it. It's really good. So if you're interested in that and want more, certainly more than what we're going to be able to do in an hour, it's a great book. I think it was free on Kindle last year. I'm not sure at one point, but I've got, I'll tell you what, if you want a copy, let me know. I've got about 5 or 6 copies on my shelf at home. I can get you one. I'll get a few of you one. Maybe if we have, we're up to like 1.2 million listeners now, so we might not be able to get all of them. But anyway, so Shannon, when we talk about Bible authority and where to start, where should we start with that concept?
Well, I think probably the best place to start is to go back to the very beginning. Genesis 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning, God. Mm-hmm. And so by virtue of saying that, God has just simply the authority to state His will, and has what I guess we would call inherent authority, or has mm-hmm. authority just because He is God. Yeah. And if we say we believe in God, we believe in God that's described in Scripture, described in the Bible, and He is the Creator, then by virtue of saying that, then we need to understand that He has the right to tell us His will.
Yeah. So by that statement, God created heavens and the earth, how much time does the Bible spend on proving that God is?
Well, really, no time much at all. In fact, it just simply starts by telling us in the beginning God, and presupposes God.
Yeah, and that's pretty powerful in and of itself. So when we approach, and the only way He chose to communicate to us is through His Word.
Yes.
And so if we don't treat it like I think He intended for us to treat it, we can get on what the old timers would call a slippery slope, if I can say it, really fast. And so let's just start. Would you mind reading Isaiah? Well, you got your Bible open, something else. I'm going to go to Isaiah 52 and read something it says. And this is kind of the idea we got to deal with as far as who we're dealing with. I'm going to read Isaiah 52, verse 7. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." And so we're going to start, there are four kind of pillars of authority that we're going to kind of talk about. The first one is that God is Creator, which Genesis 1:1 clearly says. Christ is King is the second pillar, and that's from Acts chapter 2, verses 29 to 36. We'll go read that here shortly. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of God's Word in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 13. And the fourth pillar of authority is pretty simple, is man just can't do it by himself. And we get that concept from Jeremiah 10:23 that says it's not within man to direct his own steps. So when we look at those four things, those four pillars, we have to kind of figure out then how do we deal with God's word? How do we know who God is? How do we know for sure what he said? And all those things in order to be able to get to heaven. And I'm completely convinced he wants all of us there. We just have to help people get there. So that's what we're about today. So what do you have? I see you got some PowerPoints up, Shannon. I don't want to take away from your preparation time. So what do you have up over there?
Well, I just some things that I've talked to people about previously. If we talk about God being creator, then we have to say either all things came from God or nothing came from God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we understand God, we want to understand God that's described in Scripture, what that tells us is that he has given us the concept of morality.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us intelligence. He's given us consciousness and ability to be able to understand and to know things. He's given us just simply the ability to reason and to think things through and to have the logic that we need to have to understand some things that he has given us. And so if we're going to look at his authority that we find in Scripture, then we need to understand those concepts.
Yeah. So I'm gonna read a verse, and I've read it on here before, but it's kind of, I think, the premise we have to, when we look at God's word, I think the problem people have is they pull a verse out and say, well, that's what the Bible says, and they don't look at everything else the Bible says about the subject, which is, again, I would call that a slippery slope.
Yes.
Proverbs 119, 160, reading English Standard Version, says, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. So, to me, I'm a school teacher. I'm a simple-minded man. A lot of people will tell you that. A sum is an answer to an addition problem, if you know the definition of addition. You know, it's just what it is. So if we add up all the verses about a subject and look at them, then we can determine what God said about that subject. There have been many false teachings. You know, Calvinism is one for sure. I've just been studying that a lot. He took the premise of God's sovereignty, which God is sovereign, but he exploded that one thing so much that he developed a whole theology of religion that is completely based on a lie, certainly a misunderstanding. Maybe a lie is too harsh a word. Maybe he was sincere in what he was trying to do, but he ignored so much scripture to teach what he wanted taught that he completely left the Bible behind. And so we can't do that. We just can't do that. So I'm sure you know what Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 says. We're going to look at some things the Bible says about the word and how to handle it, and then I'll let Shannon talk some. But Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, you have that, Shannon?
Yeah.
Go ahead and read that, and let's just see what it does say.
Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, of course, Moses is talking to the children of Israel, and he says, you shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you.
Yeah. And so this is an Old Testament verse, but we're going to see the same principle. You can look in all of the books of poetry, the books of the law, and the Gospels, and we're going to get to several of these today. The same principle applies. So we have that in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. It's certainly laid out, and we're going to look at three different verses that say the same thing. Proverbs 30, 5, and 6 says, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Verse 6, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. That's pretty, in that there again, it's in Deuteronomy, it's in Proverbs. We can go back to Revelation 22, 18, and 19. And again, just laying the foundation for what we're talking about, the same principle applies in all aspects of God's word, throughout it and every aspect that we look at it. Proverbs 22, 18, and 19, it says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Now, this verse is applicable to the book of Revelation, but we see the same principle how we're supposed to treat God's word throughout God's word. So that's what we're going to spend time talking about today. All right, your turn, Shannon.
Well, just I have to understand that those things are a concept that goes, like you say, all the way through mm-hmm. God's Word. And certainly, if God has that authority and that sovereignty, then we need to understand we don't have that right to basically to tell God what I think. To tell God, well, that's what you say, but I think it should be this way. And really, we need to understand there is a difference between what we might say is authority and power.
Yeah.
If we have authority, or if we were to have the authority, we only have authority as much as God will tell us, and as much as God will say.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a rightful position that God has. We don't have that right to be able to do such.
Mm-hmm.
I always have to remember when we talk about the idea of having authority, something being the name of. I love the old TV shows, you know, the old Andy Griffith Show, and I always think about Barney. You know, he wanted to tell everyone, you know, to stop in the name of the law. He wanted to, you know, he wanted to exert his authority that he had as a police officer, and that we see all those funny scenes from those things. But you know, it is not comical for us to understand that God has His authority,
no.
And for Jesus to have His authority in Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus was about to leave his disciples and when he was sending them out to preach the gospel, he said that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so there is a chain connection, if you will, from the Father with that inherent authority that he has to the Son, to Jesus, that had all authority given to him. And if you, in the original language, there is no superlative to, or even in English, there's no superlative to all. In other words, there's not a bigger word.
Superlative.
I'm getting a little fancy for Scott. Well, no. He's getting confused.
So all means, you're saying that all means all.
All means all. Uh-huh. You don't. If
you can't
I
have all or of something, you
if
mean?
If I have all, I don't.
Or allist.
There's you can't have all or allist.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense.
So if Jesus says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, there's nowhere else to get any authority. Yeah.
Now, along that, you triggered me. Along that line, if you're out there and you're thinking that the Spirit is leading you one way, or that Jesus has spoken to you and told you something else, here, and I didn't even prepare for this necessarily. We can find the verses. The Holy Spirit could only speak the mind of God.
Right.
Jesus can only do the will of His Father. He can only speak the mind of God. God can only speak the mind of God. They're all one. The Spirit is never going to lead you one way and me another way. He can't. He can only lead us God's way. So that we have to understand that aspect of who God is and what the Word says. It's never going to lead us two different directions.
He couldn't.
It can't. And so if you're thinking that the Holy Spirit is leading you to something the Bible doesn't say, you might want to check the source. I don't mean that in any way facetious, but it can't lead you someplace that the Bible doesn't take you,
right?
Because they're all one, and so we have to understand that aspect of that. So we're trying to establish the way we can come to unity on God's Word and understand what He says for all of us and not part of us. And since God is not He didn't show partiality. He doesn't show favor to one person, and then He's not going to teach one person one thing and then one person something else. He just isn't going to do it.
Right.
And so I just wanted to kind of throw that out, and we can talk about it more if we have time. But time. Oh, something I forgot to say. This is a call-in radio show, and I forgot the number. I know I didn't forget the number. I forgot to give you the number. The number is 812-365-9864, 812-365-9864. And if you're listening and if you want to call in and comment, correct, disagree, it doesn't matter to me. Call in, let us know what you're thinking out there, and try to, we can kind of come to an agreement. I mean, come at me with scripture. Here's what I told the people at Bethel when I started. You should not care what I think, and I don't care what you think. I care about what the Bible says. And if we can't come to agreement on that, we've got a problem. And so that's, I don't know how else to put it. Can you think of a better way to put it? People personist way to put that, Shannon? I don't know. I'm not being real Jesus-y, but you know, that concept. But anyway, we just can't. It's either God's Word or it's not.
Yeah.
And if it's not, I've got fishing poles in my truck. I'm going fishing. I'm not wasting my time on trying to figure out what it is. So that's my stance on it, for now, anyway. It's either God's word or it's not. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I do.
Okay, good. You know, otherwise, get out of my radio. No, I'm just kidding.
It fits the title for the show, what the Bible says.
So anyway, that's the premise of this whole thing. If we can't understand that, we can't understand God. We can't know who God is. We can't know his mind. We can't know how to get to heaven. We can't figure anything out. And so that's kind of where we are on that. I've got some stuff. What do you have over there? I see some more slides.
Well, when I talk to people about the concept that we were talking about this morning, about this idea of authority, with God.
We're back. We were on Facebook. Now we're gone. Now we're back again.
We're there. We're gone.
Just let it go. Yeah, it'll upload.
I'm just teasing. Anyway, go ahead.
And so if God has inherent authority just by virtue of the fact that he is the creator, if he has that authority, and if he is, in Matthew 28, has given all authority to Jesus in heaven and on earth, why did he tell the apostles that? Well, he's telling them that because he's about to go back to heaven. He's telling them that because he's going to send them out to preach the gospel. He's going to send them out to tell others. And so why should anybody listen to the apostles? We might think that's a little bit of an odd question, but why listen to what they have to say? Well, because they are not just simply saying what they think. They're saying what Jesus has told them. They're saying the things that they understand from God. Let's just look at a couple passages. Look at John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, in verse 20, earlier, Jesus had talked to the apostles about, yes, he was going to leave them. They were going to be going out and telling others about Jesus. How are they going to do that? I don't know about you, but I forget a whole lot more than I remember a lot of times. They were going to need some help in doing that. And they were going to need some help in order to tell the world what needed to be told. And so Jesus had promised them back in John 13 and verse 20. And Jesus said this to the apostles, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." And so there's a chain connection to whoever receives the one I send. So Jesus was about to send the apostles. Whoever receives the one I send receives me. So they not only receive the apostles or accept what they had to say, they accept what Jesus has to say because he's the one that has given it to the apostles. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. So if you receive what the apostles spoke and wrote in the scriptures, you're listening and receiving what Jesus had to say. And if you receive and accept what Jesus has to say, you're hearing and accepting the words that come from God. And so if God has that inherent authority by virtue of being the creator, and if he sent Jesus with all authority and gave him all authority there, as Jesus describes it in Matthew 28, then to read your Bible, open up to those scriptures that are written in our New Testaments and listen to what the apostles and the writers in the New Testament had to say, you're listening to God's word and God, what God has to say.
What part of God's word?
Well, you have to listen to all of it.
All of it. So that leads us to 2 Timothy 3:16, 17.
Sure.
Which, what you said is that, you know, God said, if you receive the one I sent, you receive me. So what they taught was what he wanted them to teach, was what God wanted them to teach. So again, it's that linear thing you were just talking about. But 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 simply says, all scripture is breathed out, other versions will say inspired, breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It's pretty simple. So all scripture is inspired. That's when you go back to what I start with, Psalm 119:160. The sum of God's word is truth. You got to look at all of it, and add it up. Then, since this is an instruction to a preacher, you drop right down to chapter 4 and verse 2. The first three words of verse 2 of chapter 4 is preach the word, which is what he's telling those apostles to do and Timothy to do. We're preaching the word. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 says you teach somebody so they can teach somebody, so they can teach somebody. That whole concept is we teach God's word so people can know and they can teach other people. So that's what we're trying to do here today. So you go ahead. You look like you've got something you want to say.
No, I'm just amen.
Or okay.
Amen is just I agree, and yeah. Those are the things that we find in Scripture that we yeah. just need to teach.
Yeah.
Those things and continue to teach God's Word. It's a difficult thing sometimes for people to, as they start to teach God's Word, to make sure that you stick just with that teaching.
Yeah.
And we don't put in a lot of I think so's and this is how it seems yeah. to me. That can be a challenge, and
yeah.
I understand it can be very well. And that's why we always need to go back and to make sure that we look in the Bible and have Scripture for what we teach,
yeah.
and that we don't get into a lot of these are the things that I think or conclusions that
yeah.
I've drawn if we don't have the Scripture to show that that's yeah. what's true.
You know, there are two kind of, I wouldn't call them rules. I didn't enforce rules when I started preaching. But two kind of concepts I started with, and it goes back to authority. I said there are two things I can never hear if we're going to study God's Word. One of them is that's not the way we've always done things, because that really doesn't matter. And this is by far the dumbest thing people can ever say. I know what it says, but that word does. It should be I know what it says, so, or something like that would be fine. But we don't say I know what God's Word says, but. That okay, here, heard somebody say this either on a tape or last week, and Shannon and I were at preacher training last week. Maybe it was Paul Earnhardt in one of his tapes, I don't know. If we as people try to take God's Word and do something with it besides what it says, what does he have? And this I think this is Paul Earnhardt's words. A bunch of people he can't do a single thing with. That's what we are. I mean, we God can't help us if we don't listen to Him. God can't help us if we try to change what He says. God can't help us if we don't like what He says. None of that matters.
Yeah.
And we've got to get this thing straightened out in our minds. I'm still working. You know, am I fully convinced that God is God? Yeah. But do I sometimes have to go back and restudy and ver? Yeah. That's normal stuff for us. But we just have to consider. So by implication. John, I'm gonna ask you a question about a verse. John 14:23. This is Jesus talking. I'm gonna quiz you.
Uh-oh.
It's gonna be hard. John 14:23 is really simple. It's one of the, you can go to John 14:15, John 14:23, and John 15:14. We'll probably hit all these, but they all have the same concept. Jesus answered. Now this is what he says. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Okay, by implication. Okay, this is pretty simple. If we don't keep his word, what are the implications of that verse?
Well, for one, if we don't keep his word, we're illustrating we don't really love him.
Okay, that's one. What's another implication?
And if we don't love him, and we don't keep his word, then we're not going to have a relationship with him.
Right. And then the last implication of that verse is we don't have a what?
We're not going to have a home with him.
Now, that's scary.
That is.
Now, that's one T90 verse. I know I know the book was written over 1,500 years and there are 66 books and all that. I don't know how many verses there are. Okay, I haven't counted. But that one verse carries implications with it that ought to make us stop and think about what we're doing when we look at God, the Bible, and say, you know what, I like that part, but I don't think I like that part.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, with just that, what was that, a T90 verse?
T90.
Teacher, yeah. Can you define that for me?
Itty bitty.
Never mind. Sometimes when I read the Bible, certain passages, you know, we read verse 23 again. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Just think about the concepts, those four concepts that are there, and think about them, I guess, backwards, if you
yep.
will.
Yep.
Do you want a home with God? I do.
Yes.
I want a home with God for eternity. And if I want a home with God, do I love him?
Yes.
If I love him, in order to have that home with him, I need to love him. And if I love him, that means I need to keep his word, because
yes.
he has the right to tell me what I
yeah.
need to do.
But what's the second pillar of authority?
Well, that second pillar that's described,
you remember?
Is
am I quizzing you?
You're quizzing me. I don't
know. Christ is king, right?
Christ
God
is
created Christ
yeah.
as king. So by implication, if he's a king, think about you. People knew what the king was. They knew what that meant. Mm-hmm. I don't, because I'm an American. I'm free. I do whatever I want, right? But people back then knew what a king was. What did God tell the people? They said, give us a king like all the people around us. What did he say? Let's see. He's going to take your sons. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to take whatever he wants. And there's not anything you can do about it.
Yeah.
So by implication of living under a king, if we accept it, and it doesn't matter whether we accept Christ as king or not, he is. He just is.
Yeah.
What's the implication of living under a king?
Well, we've got to obey what he says.
That's the whole Bible summed up in four words. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is.
We got to believe what he says. That's as simple as it gets. And we either do or we don't. It's not, folks, it's not halfway. This is not a fast food restaurant. You go into the restaurant and you look at the menu board and you say, well, I want that, I don't want that. But I like that, but I want that in large size. I want that in small. It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's either all his word or it's not. I'm going to keep saying that. I don't know if you have. Maybe I'll stop at some point. But this is not rocket science. And it's not algebra. It's none of that stuff. What's Luke? I won't quiz you again. Luke 6:46 makes it as simple. Now, here's the deal. We started this conversation with the fact that God is.
Yes.
Period. Which means that if you're listening and you don't believe that God is, we've started in the wrong place for you. Now, I'll be glad if you can look around this world and not see God, or look at his word and you don't think, well, I don't know. We can get together and study that, and I can help you understand what the Bible says about creation. We can look at all kinds of science and history and prove the Bible. I think we can prove the Bible's true doing those things. I think when the Bible says all men are without excuse, I think that's what he says. So if we're starting in the wrong place for you, keep listening. Give me a call later. You can call my cell phone, 812-620-4034, or call this station. Set up a study with me, and we'll start in a different place. Because when I first came along, I didn't know if God was or wasn't. I didn't really think about it. Were you raised in the church, or you raised heathen like me? I don't even know.
Well, I was raised with a mother that taught me about God.
Okay, yeah. So we have this idea in our minds, Shannon and I do now, that there is a God. I haven't always had that. I kind of wondered, but I didn't know. Now I feel like I know. So you may be where I was, and that's fine. It's a good place to start. So what did you find Luke 6:46, or did I need to know?
I did.
All right, what does that say?
Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?
Huh.
Jesus speaking.
That's,
yeah.
That could end the show right there.
We've
still got 31 minutes, so we've got lots to talk about. But folks, I'm not trying to. I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to cause division. I don't want to do any of those things. What I want people to understand is that God's word is understandable. We can talk about how it communicates too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those three things. Direct command, apostolic example, and necessary inference. We can talk about those in simpler terms so people understand what those are as far as how to establish authority with the Bible. But first we have to start with the idea that God is, and that his word, this Bible is his word. Otherwise, those things don't matter.
Right.
And so that's why I said if you're out there in that spot that you don't know or don't believe, we can help with that. So anyway, so either... Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now I'm going to read John 14:15 real quick. Same kind of concept. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Which ones? What's 2 Timothy 3 say? All scriptures inspired. So we can't take some of what Jesus said, that's nice, and say, well, I don't. That's not. It doesn't matter how we feel about it. It's his word. So we've got to believe all of it. He says if. Now, there's a teacher I've had that says the biggest little word in the Bible is if. If determines. Now, here's John 7:7. I'm going to go read John 7:17 real quick while I'm over in this area. Just for you all who are out there who are wondering what I'm... Okay. If anyone's will is to do God's will, He will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking of my own authority. We have a choice. Now, there are going to be people out there teach you that you don't have a choice. It's called predestination. That is a lie. You have a choice to believe God's word or not. Once we hear God's word, we have a choice to believe it or not. So it's our choice. That's why that word if is there. If you, now, on the same vein, let's go to John 15:14. If you are my friends, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So if you're out there going on about what a good friend you have in Jesus and you don't do what he says, guess what? Friendship's one-sided.
Yeah.
Now, I've said a lot, and I know I haven't let you say a whole lot, so go ahead and correct anything that needs to be corrected or add to it, whatever you want to do, because this is really simple for me.
So you're implying I have to remember everything you just said?
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess just the idea, and I was thinking in my mind the same place Scott went with that, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, illustrates the concept of what is often called free will.
Mm-hmm.
God gives you the choice. God gives me the choice as to whether I will do what he says. He gives me the opportunity to make that choice. And that choice really should be, or will be, mm-hmm. I believe, for one who desires to serve God, based on love. I love God. I want to have a good relationship with God. And so as a result of that, I want to find out what he says, what that word is that to me, and what I need to obey.
Yeah.
And as Scott was just talking about, I don't have the choice to say, well, I like some things, but I don't like other things. And God says this, but means that certain things that I would rather not do.
Yeah. We're at the top of the hour, and by law, I have to say what I'm getting ready to say. But it's fun to say anyway. You are listening to Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO, otherwise known as WBRO, 89.9 FM, broadcasting from, and I quote, beautiful Marengo, Indiana. And we're thankful for to have this opportunity to be on this program, and I'll take this moment to thank Sean and Yvette and whoever runs this station for letting us be on here, because it's pretty cool. Thank you, Theron, for the reminder. But anyway, by law, we have to do that at the top of every hour, and otherwise the FCC will come throw me in jail. So, all right.
Boy, you don't want to go to FCC jail.
No, I don't want to go to FCC jail. Really? That just sounds scary. All right. So that was a little, not a commercial, but it's certainly a break. So carry on with what you were saying there, Shannon. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess I'll go back to some of what I was saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If we've got this connection with God having the authority to start with, inherent authority,
yeah,
being the creator, and if in Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and then promising the apostles that he is going to send them out, and if they receive you, they receive me, and if they mm-hmm. receive me, they receive the one who sent me. So there's that chain of authority, God to Jesus to the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world were the apostles going to do that? How in the world were they going to be able to do that? They were going to need some help in order to do that. Let me illustrate a couple of things. We were just in John 14.
Yeah.
A while ago, in John 14 and verse 26, really John 14, 15, 16, and mm-hmm. and 17, Jesus makes the apostles a promise. That's one of the things about reading your Bible. Understand always who's speaking and who he's speaking to. There are some things in the Bible that are in Scripture that you got to understand who's being talked to. And so specifically to the apostles, in John 14 and verse 26, he tells the apostles, but the Helper, you say, well, who's the Helper? Jesus tells us, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. There, once again, you've got a connection there of authority. The Father's the one going to send, and it's going to be by the authority of Jesus in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit was going to come to the apostles, and he was going to do two things. One, he was going to teach the apostles, and he was going to bring to their remembrance everything that he had said.
Can you imagine? This creates a fantastically cool picture in my mind. Yeah. And maybe I'm reading it wrong.
No.
Imagine the apostles standing here, And they realize with the, after Jesus has told them all the three times, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again on the third day, they didn't get it.
Yeah.
And then they after his resurrection, they realize, wait a minute. And all the light bulbs start going off of all the things he said to them through that those 3 years of teaching. And it's like, that's what he meant. That's what he meant. And then it finally comes to their mind. And then once that happened, you couldn't shut them up. You kill them, put them in prison. They didn't care. But we've got to get ourselves to that point. We've got to let the light bulbs, we've got to study and understand this and let the light bulbs go off in our own minds. And then you'll be like me and nobody will be able to shut you up.
Right.
Even though sometimes people would rather not hear what I've got to say. I don't ever intend to, but we've got to get to a point where we have that kind of confidence that this is God's word and we have confidence in it.
Right.
But the evidence is there if we just study and learn to love it like he wants us to. It's really cool.
It is.
But anyway, that's it. That's just a really cool picture to think about. They're in their minds, all these things, all the connections.
It is.
And that remembrance, it's a powerful picture for me, but it's pretty cool. But anyway, you're flipping through your Bible again.
Yeah.
Here in Hebrews, looks like.
Second Peter chapter 1. Okay, so here you've got this connection between God, to the Son, to the apostles. So what did the apostles do when they were guided by the Holy Spirit, when they were being reminded of the things mm-hmm. Jesus had taught? Well, they took those things, and for our great benefit, of course, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21, it says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, mm-hmm. for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were being carried along or moved by the Holy Spirit. So the apostles didn't come up with all the things they wrote down by themselves mm-hmm. or even all the things they preached. And some of those things are recorded in our scripture and Book of Acts and things like that. So know that they didn't, that prophecy of scripture mm-hmm. didn't come up with their own, out of the apostles' minds and out of their own desires.
So there we have the Word, God, and the Spirit all being one thing.
All working together,
which
all being
cool.
together.
Yeah.
And so as the Word was given to them, as they had the Holy Spirit guiding them and reminding them, they took those things and used those things. Mm-hmm. You say, well, what did they do with it then? Or why do you keep referring to, well, turn in your Bibles? Well, let's find out. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 10 through 13. Why are we so...
I've got that written down in my notes.
How about that?
How about that?
All right. Why are we so, I guess, focused on and even just keep saying, hopefully we're not doing... one thing, and that is maybe just assuming you understand why turn to the Bible. Why do we assume the Bible has the right thing to say? Well, mm-hmm. The concept is, again, back to this concept of God being the one that started everything with his creation, all authority being given to Jesus, and the apostles then receiving the authority from Jesus, being able to do what they could do because the Holy Spirit was guiding them and moving them. And then what did they do with it? Well, 1 Corinthians 2 in verse 10 says, these things God has revealed to us. This is Paul, Apostle Paul writing, by the way. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. In other words, as some of the versions say, basically they combine spiritual thoughts mm-hmm. with spiritual words. In other words, just for us, they wrote those things down.
Yeah.
And that's why we have the scripture, those things, the word scripture just seems, means writings, those things that have been written down. How could they write anything down that we could put confidence in?
Yeah.
Because they came from God, through Jesus, through the apostles, and the apostles and prophets in the first century, being guided, moved by the Holy Spirit, took those thoughts and things from the Spirit and wrote them down. So you can put your confidence in the Bible.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's amazing connection.
Now, I turned to 2 Corinthians 2, and I was confused for a
moment. So you were lost.
And then I realized, I rolled over the way. I've got the right verse written down, turned to the wrong verse. Let me ask you a question about something people have said to me. I'm talking at work and things like that, and I will say something about how they know what they're supposed to do. They will say, and this I think this came from Alexander Campbell back a long time ago. I studied the history book that I read. Well, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible's silent. What does that mean?
Well, I can't assume everything it means, but that he would say, but basically it just means look in the Scripture, look in the Bible, and say the things it says, and when you get to the end of what the Bible says, you've said all that there is.
Now, here's why I say this. I think people are really good. Not really good. I don't worry. People are pretty good about trying to do what the Bible does say. But when it comes to things it doesn't say, that's when they get a little crazy and a little creative. They say, well, if it doesn't say not to. So here's what happened to me, and I've said this before. I said this to a lady I was working with. And I said, okay. How do you get the authority for what you do in your worship? She goes, oh, we speak where the Bible speak, and we silent where we're silent, where the Bible's silent. I said, well, and I'm not going to get into the issue right now. That's a topic for another show. So where do you get the authority to do such and such? She goes, well, it doesn't say not to. She just said, well, we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible's silent. And then she followed my question with, it doesn't say not to. What about where the Bible is silent? If we're going to toy with the word and try to add to it, I've already said this, and try to change, well, if it doesn't say not to, it's okay. Slippery slope, folks. If it doesn't say it, who am I to decide what God would think was okay?
Right. That's right.
We can't do that. And we have to be really careful with this because we go places we shouldn't go because surely God would be okay with this. I mean, it feels good, so why shouldn't we do this? That is a dangerous place to put ourselves. I think that the quote, we speak where the Bible speaks and we're silent where it's silent, that's sound. This quote, well, it doesn't say not to, is not.
Yeah.
That's the wrong approach to take with God's word. And you turned over to Jude for some reason whilst I was talking.
In Jude verse 11, if we're going to say that God is God, God reigns, he has the right, the authority to tell me what to do. We looked at Isaiah 52 mm-hmm. verse 7, I think, earlier.
Yes.
In Jude verse 11, Jude just has one chapter, so if you want chapter 1 verse 11. But Jude is talking about the concept of people and how they deal with God and the way they even, in verse 10, he talks about people blaspheming God. But he says, woe to them, or they're woe or cursed are they, for they have walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. So Jude gives really three examples. Well, what is the way of Cain? If you go back to Cain and Abel, what did they do back in the book of Genesis there? It describes their sacrifices that they brought to God. That Abel brought a sacrifice, the sacrifice of an animal, a blood sacrifice to God. And it describes Cain's sacrifice being of the fruit of the ground. You say, well, to us, maybe that makes a whole lot of sense. You know, Cain was a farmer. He was...
It's
what he had. Yeah. Took the things that he had. Abel was a shepherd. Abel took what he had and gave it to God. But the implication of what we find out when all of that story is done is that Cain, at the end of it, of course, has killed his brother because it says God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to ask the question, well, why didn't he accept the sacrifice that Cain had given? And what we find is that later in our scriptures, we just see all the way through scripture, sacrifice had to do with blood. Blood was shed mm-hmm. in sacrifice. And so Cain had not done that. Well, it never actually gives us the command of God. But again, God must have said what he wanted. And again, Cain could have come along and said, well, he didn't say not to bring the fruit of the ground. And so there is one of those things. Balaam, what did he do? he came along and determined to do his own will rather than God's will. Mm-hmm. And the same with Korah. So we just do not have the right to say, God didn't tell me not to. You know, we understand this as, we understand this, if you're a parent, you understand that with your child. You send them to the store, you say, go get me a gallon of milk and a box of cereal. And they came back and they've filled up the cart and they've got bags and bags of all kinds of things, bags of chips and all kinds of candy and all kinds of, all of that. And you say, well, why in the world did you get all of this stuff? You say, well, they say, well, Dad, you didn't tell me not to.
Yeah.
Do we treat God that trivial, I guess, for one thing?
Yeah. And I know I'm not doubting people's sincerity. I'm not saying if you're out there and you're a member of a church that is doing some things that aren't explicitly explained in the Bible. I'm not saying you're being purposely defiant with God. I'm not saying that you're insincere in your worship. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is, look at what the Bible does say, and look at what you're doing, and see if they match.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. And we all have to do this every day. This is not. I'm not saying I've got it perfect, that everything, you know, I'm working, I'm studying. I went to preacher training for a week last week and heard five preachers that, I mean, combined total, I don't even, one of them has been preaching for 65 years, one's been preaching for 61 years. I don't know with the other, I don't know. So we're probably looking at over 350 years of experience of preaching. They don't have it all yet, they'll tell you. You know, we're still studying. We're still figuring things out. I don't have it all figured out. I've got a long way to go. But the word's pretty clear, and Jesus is pretty clear about how we're supposed to handle it. And, you know, we're back to the book of John. You go to John 8:31-32. People want to know the truth. They want to be free. They want to say, well, what's Jesus? How do we do that? Jesus said, if you abide in my words, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, which words? All of them. I mean, it's that simple. He didn't say some of my words. My words. And so I just want people to take their Bibles and read it and forget everything that you think you know and just read it and see what it says. I think God's able to communicate with us that way.
Yeah.
I really think he's able. He's God, number one, but I think he's smart enough to create, to communicate with the creation what he wants them to know.
Sure.
If he can't, is he God?
Yeah.
He's a pretty weak one. If he, you know, if that's the case. So anyway, I'm sorry, I got off on a little tangent there, but it's simple, but it's also really serious.
It's a challenge, and don't ever apologize for speaking too much. This is your program.
Well, you're my guest. I have to give you time. So
I guess while he was talking about those things,
did I trigger you?
The encouragement. If you get nothing else out of this, folks, just simply understand the encouragement is take your Bible and start reading for yourself. If you worship somewhere, you quote unquote go to church, don't ever feel like that if someone, whether they say this or not, a lot of places say, well, you just listen to what I have to say. Sometimes they don't. They'll tell you to read your Bible. But if you go and think that, well, I'll get whatever I need just because I'm listening to someone else, you won't. You just simply need to take your Bible. I mean, think about when we read in our New Testaments, we read on occasion Paul traveling, and it talks about in the book of Acts there about him going one place and they didn't want to hear what he had to say, and traveling to another place, and it says they searched the scriptures to see whether these things were so. Search your scriptures, make sure these things are so.
It's funny, I was just going the same thing. That same thing. And that's if the people that are listening to me talk don't double check what I say with their Bibles, they're doing a disservice to themselves, to me, and to God, and everything I've tried to teach them.
Yeah.
It does not matter what I think. My opinion doesn't mean squat. It's either God's word or it's nothing. And that's all there is to it. And I don't know, that's just as simple as it gets.
Yeah.
And we've got to treat it with the type of respect that God would. I mean, he's the creator of the universe. You know what's really interesting is that God with his word created a universe, everything in it. And it seems to me, and this is what's really strange, his biggest challenge has been getting people to love him back the way he wants them to do so. Mm-hmm. He's given us everything we need. But why do so many people force him to give them hell instead of heaven? Yeah. And we have all the answers. And it's just, and people are so blind to it. But it's he's given us what we need in his word. It's just so simple, folks. We've got to get this thing right. And I'm sorry, go ahead, Bob.
Well, I guess I went back in my mind to verse there in John earlier when we were talking about, was it John 14:15? Mm-hmm. That we want to say, oh yes, I love God. Mm-hmm. Do you love him enough to listen to him? And if you love him enough to listen to him, do you realize he's telling you his mind, he's telling you what he wants you to know by the word that's written down? Yeah. Do you love him enough to read the scriptures? Yeah. You read the words of Jesus, then read the words of the apostles as they wrote those things down. Read those New Testament letters that we find. Yeah. And see what Jesus did himself. Mm-hmm. See what he sent the apostles out to do in the book of Acts and how that came about. Yep. What that produced as the gospel was preached and as the church started there in Acts chapter 2. And then when Paul and Peter and others wrote to those brethren in the books that follow, in those New Testament letters, find out how they helped to focus their knowledge, focus and correct some of their misunderstandings, and then just realize that yep. they were just people just like you and me. Yep. They loved God, they wanted to serve God, and when they loved him enough to listen to what they were being directed in, they were commended for it.
Yep. So, we have, 7 minutes? We got a lot to talk about. Let's talk about the effect. If God wants us to be transformed, by the way, the verse in Acts 17 that Jess Shannon was talking about, Acts 17:11, yeah. said that Bereans search the scriptures daily. All right, that's we need to get that out there. But Romans 12:1-2 ask us to do something in response to what God has done for us. And it's really, and if we don't know his word, we don't trust his word, we're never going to do this the way God wants us to do it. So can you read, just read Romans 12:1.
Paul writes and says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Isn't that cool? That is. A living sacrifice. That means that... That's kind of weird, isn't it?
How do you have something that's living and dead at some point?
Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and see. Because it explains it. But, you know, the idea of a sacrifice, and I've said this on here before, and I can't remember when, so I'm going to say it again. And I'll ask Shannon and Theron standing back there too. When you talk about a sacrifice and a lamb being taken to the sacrifice, how committed was the lamb to the sacrifice?
Completely.
No choice. It would be complete. It wouldn't be like partially sacrificed. You know, they wouldn't partially cut the throat, and they wouldn't partially bleed it out. They wouldn't partially throw the blood all over the place. It was complete sacrifice. It's like all those deer we saw on the way down to Illinois. We were seeing these deer alongside the road. Said, "Well, that deer is dead." You know, and the next one, that one's even deader. You know.
There's no spur.
That one's dead us. There isn't. Dead is dead. All right? So we're going to sacrifice ourselves. What's Galatians 2, verse 20 say?
I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
I have been crucified with Christ. This is where people have a really weird concept of bearing their cross. I even saw a dude come through Marengo a couple of years ago. He had a cross he was dragging down the road. The cross had a wheel on it, so I mean, that's one. But he was dragging that cross down the highway. That is not what this is talking about. What this is talking about, the idea of bearing your cross, is what that just said. Every day, you get up and you commit your life to Christ. And bearing it, that's going to be different for each one. What can we do? I mean, Shannon has skills I don't have. Theron has skills I don't have. Just look at Facebook and all that stuff. You can see all the Theron's work that he's doing that I can't do. We got a website called letthebiblespeak.com. You got a Facebook page and
dot faith.
Yeah, sorry, and all these things. And I told you. But we all have talents. So when we wake up every day, we're going to take what we know about God. We're going to bear our cross to the best of our ability. Whatever that is, whatever responsibility we have to God is what we're going to do based on His Word. And the next day, we get up and do it again. And if we mess up, and if you play golf, you know what a mulligan is. We get mulligans all day. God gives us a mulligan. If we messed up yesterday, guess what? Today we get a mulligan. We get to go again. It's a redo. It's a redo for those who are in Christ. Yeah. Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
Yeah.
That's what this is talking about. And the only way we can get there is through His Word and to know what it says.
Yeah. And in Romans 12, the concept of that living sacrifice is a sacrifice that is wholly consumed.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to people about spiritual things, about religious things a lot of times. You say, oh yeah, I want to go to church. I want to read my Bible every once in a while, but I don't want to be consumed with it. well, let me ask you a question. Do you love God? And if you say, oh, yes, I love God, it means I'm going to do His Word.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to do His Word, I'm going to commit myself to doing all of it. I'm going to be consumed with it. Give everything I am and everything I've got.
Which, that sounds really big.
Yeah.
And it is, and to some respect. But what that means is that you build, that's the foundation. So when I go to school and be a teacher, I'm a Christian first. That's what that means. Yeah. When I go home and I'm a daddy, I'm a Christian first. It makes me a better daddy. I go home on also a husband. It, being a Christian makes me a better husband. Some days. And so, yeah, ask my wife. But that idea of complete immersion in, I use that, that's, you know, I slipped in immersion there, in God's Word becomes what we are, and everything else becomes a result. We're better teachers, we're better dads, we're better engineers, we're better drivers. You hear that, folks? Be a better driver. Whatever you do, it just means that we're letting God lead our lives. That's what we're talking about. Now, can we get it all right the first try? Shannon Satan has said no.
Probably not.
We can't. God knew that. He knew that. Now, look, now if you want to know about God's eternal plan, come Sunday, because I'm going to talk about it. Here's the timeline I want you to have in your mind. You can draw this on a piece of paper. Put the word eternity, all right? And draw a vertical line, put time, draw a vertical line, and put eternity again. God's plan started in eternity, and it's going to end in eternity, and time is something he created for us so he can have his special people. And I don't care what happens in the world, nothing is ever going to thwart God's plan. His plan is going to come true. All we have to do is follow His Word. It's just that simple. But we're going to talk about that Sunday if you're interested. 9:30 Bible study, 10:30 worship. Anyway, go ahead, Shannon. That was a little plug for the church. But we have anything you want to say in the last minute and a half or so?
Just be sure you come listen to Scott. That's at El Bethel.
No, I did that already. You know, El Bethel out here by the high school. You say what you want to say. And if you're closer to Galena, go listen to Shannon. I'm not sure what he's going to talk about. But, look, folks, we just love. You may not be able to tell, but folks, I just love people, and I look at everybody, and I want them to know God.
Yeah.
I want them to know what I know. I don't want them where I used to be. It's scary to think about that, and the thin string that, you know, to get me to where I was to where I am now. You know, how did it happen? I'm not sure. I mean, I look back, and I'm like, I can't figure all this out. But God's response to God's Word.
Yeah.
And
I guess I'll just put a plug in for Brother Scott. If you want somebody that loves and cares about you and that loves the truth and loves God's Word, you'll find that in him. And I just encourage you to do that very thing. Just simply decide, I want to serve God. I want to love God the very best I can. Start reading your Bible. And then go find Scott and find a worship with the brethren there, and do your very best to do that each day. You say, I blew it yesterday. I failed in it. Get up the next day and say, today I'm going to do my best to do it.
Now, I've said this before to worry about it. We're literally out of time. I'm not about building the church at Little Bethel. I mean, it's great. You know, we'll grow. But I'm concerned about building the church in general. So I don't care where you are. If you get this CD and you listen to it, and it's, or if you're on the website, letthebiblespeak.faith, and you listen to it.
Yeah.
And I don't care where you are. You call me and I'll find somebody to help you study with. I don't care where, if you're in Louisville or I don't know, Florida, if it ends up down there. And some of them have gone down there. It doesn't matter to me where you worship. It matters to me how you worship and how you feel about God. So that's the thing with that we're doing here. I've got people coming in here from Louisville. Shannon lives in, is it Galena? No, wait a minute. Is that Galena or Highlander Point?
I'm a snob.
What is it? Okay, he's a, so I don't, it doesn't matter to me. If you want to know who God is, we can show you how. That's what we're doing here, and that's all we want. But I love everybody, and if you've been listening, I appreciate you listening. You know, that we're a minute over, so here's what I'm going to say. Like I always end. Folks, I love you. Just let the Bible speak. That's all. Just, you know, say a prayer, pick your Bible up, and let it speak to you, because that's how this is going to work. Thank you for listening.
All right. You want to sign off with the folks on Facebook? We've got three listeners. We're up to five.
Gusted up to five. Thank you all for taking the time out of your day to listen to me rattle on. I appreciate it. Shannon, thank you for being on here and there, and thanks for all you do, and appreciate everybody.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I know I have a face for radio, so
we all do.
We're glad to have
you
anyway.
But we both got polos on today. So
yeah, I noticed you guys are dressing a lot better ever since we went
for
to
dressing
the video.
Up for Facebook.
No more shorts. I noticed my shorts riding up too much for the angle.
I thought about that,
so
actually.
So we changed that.
I was thinking, look how they changed since you went live.
It's all on air.
Yeah, we apologize. We're having some issues with the video earlier. I think it's actually an internet connection issue. Sean, the station owner, had told us that, you know, we've got some problems off and on. That's one of the reasons that occasionally the station itself goes offline on its live feed. And I think what happened is the video bandwidth is pretty demanding, and I think we kind of exceeded it, so we were dropping in and out there for a while. The good news is I think the majority actually ended up streamed.
Excellent.
As we have done the last couple weeks. And just a heads up, there is some talk that we're going to be relocating the studio to the main campus here, and when that happens, we're going to get far superior internet. Mm-hmm. So hoping, as long as we have access to Facebook still, once we're on their internet, all those issues should go away. So hopefully this is a one-off, and in the future we won't have those issues.
Appreciate it, Theron. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.